Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Dan Bosco.
By also our guest, big welcome to you. Glad you're here. And any questions, of course, as Becca said, see us afterwards. We've been in a series on spirit people. And just what's it look like, as we wrote up here, becoming a healthy word and spirit community, all about the scriptures, but all about the Holy Spirit moving in the midst of our hearts and our souls. As Becca mentioned, today especially is a day we take every January, every June, September, and just remind people about these three things that we value: connect, serve, and give. Important parts, important priorities in our church body. If Chris, if you go to that next slide for me, buddy. Connect, serve, and give. And today I just want to kind of chat a bit about that, but I really want to talk more about this idea of seizing the opportunity for community. What's it look like to seize the opportunity for community? There was a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you may have heard of him, lived decades and decades ago during World War II. He was actually a pastor in Germany, and he put us up resistance. He preached against the ways of Hitler. He was eventually jailed. In the midst of jail, he wrote a book called Life Together. And one of the things about Dietrich Bonhoeffer's life in jail was he realized, wow, Christian community is a privilege. Christian community is this amazing gift from God. It is a privilege for us to connect together in community. This is what he actually wrote, a little quote from his book. You'll see up here. Go ahead, Chris. It is true, of course, that what is an unspeakable gift of God for the lonely individual is easily disregarded and trodden underfoot by those who have the gift every day. Speaking about community, Christian community. It is easily forgotten that the fellowship of Christian brethren is a gift of grace, a gift of the kingdom of God that any day may be taken from us. Because he's in the midst of prison, solitary confinement at times. He's like, man, I got nothing. I got the Lord. I got him in my heart. But man, I am so longing for just simply being with other Christians, going deep and talking and encouraging one another. He goes, that could be taken from us at any time. That the time that still separates us from the utter loneliness may be brief indeed. Therefore, let him who until now has had the privilege of living in common Christian life with other Christians praise God's grace from the bottom of his heart. Let him thank God on his knees and declare, it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brethren. Isn't that good? How's that hit your soul? Do you feel that? Do you feel his passion for community? Do you feel his longing and his desires? Or are you like I've been at times and you just kind of take it for granted? It's easily disregarded and trodden underfoot by those who have the gift every day. Do we realize the blessing it is to come to a church, be a part of a Sunday morning, and not only that, but then spend time with each other throughout the week, encourage one another, serve one another, give to God's big kingdom, our whole idea of connect and serve and give. You see, I think, and I know, reading Bonhoeffer, he had Acts chapter 2 in mind, which is one of the classic passages on Christian community that you've probably seen before. If you bring that up for us, Chris. All the brethren, believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. A classic passage on community. You know, my gut is in Florida right now, in Houston, they're living that more than we are. The needs, the brokenness, the heartache, they're gathering together in ways that we're just like taking everything for granted. And this is what Bonhoeffer's talking about, that this is an absolute privilege. Look at that passage, and look at what God talks about here. As they devoted themselves, there was a deep sense of awe. These folks were just, I mean, they're just like, God, you're so awesome. You're amazing. I give my life to you. And as that happened, there were signs and wonders and miracles that just set the table for God to do amazing, crazy things. And then what did they do? They got this amazing heart of generosity, sharing with one another, encouraging one another, meeting together on a regular basis. And in the end, you see what happens. People added to that church day after day after day. People were added because they looked around and said, we want what you have. And I think if this is what God has, you look at Bonhoeffer's testimony, you look at the promise of Acts chapter 2, then you check out statistics like these. Check these out. In America, every week, 73% of Americans claim Christianity. 20% claim nothing, 6% other. Could be Judaism, could be Islam, it could be whatever, New Age. 75% of Americans pray. Now, those first two stats, you know, I'm a little bit encouraged that three quarters of America still has something going on in their heart. We talk about the fact that we're moving towards postmodernism or post-Christian world and how Europe is post-Christian, that there's just really not a whole lot going on spiritually. I'm still encouraged that three out of four people in America still actually believe in God. I'm not sure what they believe about God, but they believe in God. And that three out of four people still pray. That's a good sign. There's some people out there hungry still for spirituality, and that's a really good sign. But then watch what happens. 35% of Americans attend a church service, and 34% of Americans read the Bible. There's a 40% drop-off in being involved in a church. So of that 35% that actually attend church, what that's saying to us is that 49% of them are involved in, you do more research with Barna here, 49% of that 35% are actually involved beyond Sunday. That translates into 17%. 51% of them serve in the church, 18% of the Americans, and 10% actually of them actually give regularly. And you realize the tail off. There's still a belief in God. There's still this sense of, hey, I'm going to pray. I need to pray. But when it comes to church and community, there's a major tail off. We have hopes and dreams here at Crossroads. I want to share those with you. And I'm going to give you some reasons why I think there's these issues, these problems, why these drop-offs, and give you some really cool encouragement about what we could potentially do here. So check out these stats. This is my hope and dream, our hope and dream. Go ahead, Chris. In Aspen, what if someday we could see 75% of Aspenites attend church? It's probably 3 or 4% now. And I say not 100% because I still want somebody to go out and share with, right? You don't want the whole place to be Christian. It'd get boring, right? So we'll leave 25% out. But how about this? 100% of cross-eyedites are involved beyond Sunday. 100% of crossroadites serve in church regularly. 100% of crossroadites give regularly to the church. How about that? And you know what? This is what's so cool. This is the reality check. Do you realize of those latter three, we could literally accomplish that today? It's going to take a while to get to 75% of Aspenites in church, but we could accomplish the latter three today. That hope and that dream could be fulfilled today simply by the choices we make. And I tell you, just like we saw in Acts 2, when we move towards that, and we start moving towards 100% as a church in those three areas of connecting, serving, and giving, folks, that's when that number towards 75% starts to go up. Because the community in Aspen looks around and says, what in the world is going on at Crossroads Church? And they get amped and they get excited and they know, I got to go be a part of that. So let me share with you, I think, just some reasons why we don't go there, and some stuff out of my own life these last 6 weeks. It's been this really interesting journey, especially for those of you who know me, you know a bit more about it. But I'm going to share with you some of the things that God's just done in my life these last 6 weeks, and then because they totally apply to this idea of community. So any mountain bikers in here? I know it's pretty common around here, right? Well, I took a spill on the mountain bike about 6 weeks ago and put a handlebar into my rib cage and went to the doctors and x-rays and came back that had some broken ribs. And so that wasn't fun, but went home that day and they said, you know, do this, put an ice pack on your chest. Put an ice pack on my chest that Thursday night, and I'm laying in bed and just, okay, hopefully I can fall asleep. Turned off the light. No sooner did I turn off the light, I started to hear, I'm like, what in the world? Turn on the light, there's a bat in my bedroom. I'm like, of all nights to have a bat in my bedroom, it's this night. I'm laying here with this ice pack on my chest. I don't want to move. I don't feel like I can move. And it's flying around, and it lands in my vaulted ceiling, like up there, not that far away, but about half the distance to like the center of the cross up there. And I'm laying in my bed. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I got these things. What do they call them? They call them throw pillows you put on your bed, which to me as an athlete means they're designed to be thrown, right? I mean, that's... So however I did this, with broken ribs, I have no idea, but laying on my back, on my bed, I took that pillow, and I went, and I nailed it. And that thing went down the stairs to the next level, and suddenly it was like my ribs were miraculously healed, because I felt nothing. I jumped out of bed, ran after that thing, got down the stairs, couldn't find it. I'm looking around, and then I saw it between a couple shoes. I'm like, what am I going to do? Because I know, as you may know, bats can carry rabies. And I don't know how long he's been there, and if he's been there for a couple days, he could easily have landed on me and bit me. Highly unlikely that he has rabies, but nonetheless could. So you want to capture the bat and have it tested. The animal control will take it and test it. I got to capture this bat. So what do I look around in my kitchen is a strainer. So take this strainer and plop it over the top of the bat. I'll save the details, but the bat didn't fare well in the process. So then I did the thing that would make most wives absolutely go nuts. I took it. It was dead by this point. And I put it in my freezer in a plastic bag. Because I'm like, well, I think I need to keep it somehow. I just can't keep it on the counter. So I put it in a plastic bag and put it in my freezer, and the animal control came, took it off, and took it away, and got back to me a few days later and said, hey, the body was too mangled to test. So we can't tell you if it has rabies. And, oh, great, okay. So we advise you to get bat shots. So did a little research into bat shots, and again, statistically speaking, the odds of that bat having rabies is so small in this town. But it is still possible, and you don't know if you have rabies until you have it, and once you have it, you're basically dead. I mean, it's a fatal disease. You can't, there is no cure for it. One person survived, an 18-year-old up in Minnesota some years ago. The only record of someone surviving rabies. So anyway, now I got this choice. Do I get these bat shots when the odds say, I don't need bat shots. And So I'm back and forth. I talk to Brian and others. What do you think? What do you think? I talk to everybody. What do you think? And some are like, it's no worries. Don't worry about it. No chance it has rabies. But I'm the one who's got the bat bite. Because when I was trying to capture him, he kind of got out my finger. So anyway, this went on. And after a week, I sat down with Steve and said, man, bro, what do you think? I said, because I'm like, you know, they say there's no chance I really have rabies. I mean, the odds are so small. But, and on the other side of that, it's, you know, it's $10,000 for these bat shots. Yeah, seriously, $10,000 for these bat shots. Checked out insurance, and insurance would cover $8,000. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. But that's still $2,000 out of my pocket, right? And that's still a lot of money. And if I don't really, no chance I have them. So Steve says, so you're basically saying your life's not worth $2,000. Like, gee, thanks, Steve. That's encouraging. Yeah. Your husband is such, yeah, he's got the sensitivity of a stomach pump, basically. Yeah. So that was on a Monday. And to bring this story to a close, because I want to move on to the message. By Friday night, I am just starting to sweat. And now I'm getting online. Now, what are the symptoms of rabies? And you all know, if you Google anything online, it's going to tell you you got it, right? What?
And worse,
yes. And I'm driving home Friday night, and I'm just, you know, I'm beating up, and I'm sweating. And I get home, and I literally, I had a panic attack. And I'm just, I just could not hold it together. And I'm just freaking out. And I started thinking, I could die. I mean, I could die. And you know, and I go to bed that night. I'm trying to sleep, and I'm just rattled, trying to sleep, but having this panic attack. And you know, I'm up till 2 or 3 in the morning. And what a blessing it would have been if I had a wife that would have said, hey, Einstein, how about we just get you up and take you to the hospital and get this thing done with and get your stinking bat shots and be done with it? But no, I didn't think that way. I called a buddy and said, hey, man, listen. I left a message on his phone. What a great message he must have got here. But left a message, hey, listen, something's going on. Call me in the morning. If I don't answer, come over because I may be dead. Okay? And that's literally the message I left on his phone. And so finally fell asleep about 3 a.m., woke up at 7 a.m. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm alive. And so where am I going with this? Is for the next few hours, I had the most amazing encounter with God. As I sat down and got a coffee, I wasn't sweating anymore. I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to live another day. I can probably get the shots today if I want and still be alive. And I sat down and I just started processing with him. And I realized, even in the midst of those 2 weeks, I was kind of like nonchalant about everything. I was kind of like, well, you know, if I live, I live. If I don't, I don't. You know, I go to heaven, that's great. And I realized I had really lost, I really lost my zeal and my appetite for life, to be honest with you. And I just started to interact with the Lord about that. And something started to come up in my heart. And I'm like, Lord, I want to live. And he said, what do you want to live for? And I got to tell you, the first thing that came to my mind was this. And it's sad. I said, well, I don't want my family to have to clean up my mess. In other words, get rid of my stuff, sell my home. And it was like I had this out-of-body experience where I just came around and looked at myself and was like, that is so lame. That is just a lame thought. That's your reason to live? And I realized it was just a surface smokescreen thought. And then we went deeper. And God put 3 things in particular I want to share with you today and relate it to this idea of community that greatly changed my life that morning. And this is the first one. I said, Lord, I mean, this is what came out of my heart. Go ahead, Chris. I want to be loved and I want to love. I want to love and be loved. And I realized, you know what, Lord, life's been somewhat lonely. And I've just been on this task of working and cranking things out. And, you know, I don't know if I really experience love the way you talk about it in the scriptures. And he took me to this passage, John 17. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father and I am in you. May they experience such perfect unity. Do you know who's saying this? Jesus. This is his prayer. I should have laid that out for you. This was his prayer for us, that they would have perfect unity, that the world would know that you sent me and you love them as much as you love me. Think about God's love for us. As much as he loves Jesus, the Father in heaven loves me as much as he loves Jesus, then your love for me will be in them and I will be in them. This word for love up here is agape. It's God's unconditional love. And as I started to wrestle with this, God said, Dan, you've been loving with human love. That's why you're tired. That's why you're exhausted. You've been just trying to love with human love. And human love is a conditional love. It's actually a contract love. It's like, I'm going to love you as long as you love me back this way. This is how I will love you, and you love me this way. This is probably where most marriages are. It's probably why we have this terrible divorce rate that we have. Because so many are trying to love with human love. And what the Lord began to show me that morning was, Dan, you need my love in you. The love that you're looking for is not just human love, the love of a wife. It's good. But what you need more than anything, you need my love in you. Radically transforming your heart, filling your heart with joy, excitement and zeal and appetite for life. And then you're in a position to love others. And I think about church, and I think about the challenge of those statistics that we saw, and I think this is what happens in a lot of situations. We say to you, hey, come and love with us. And you're like, man, I am just tired. Do you know how hard it is? I'm just trying to love my spouse right now. I'm trying to love my kids that have gone off the tracks, or I'm trying to love my neighbor that's a pain in the butt, or I'm trying to love this coworker. And now you're telling me, come to church and love a bunch of strangers? Are you kidding me? I get that, gang. And that's why we say, it's not about human love. Don't bring human love. It's not an invitation to come in love with human love. It's an invitation to come and experience agape love. You see, agape love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there's no other place you're going to experience agape love than in a healthy body, which I believe we have here, not perfect, but a healthy body, where we are cultivating, like an incubator, planting seeds in people's hearts of agape, God-like love. And as that happens, as our hearts are transformed, as we experience that, as we learn about it, as we practice it here in this community, we take it back to our marriages, to our neighbors, to our workers, to our kids, and things are radically transformed. Do you see what I'm saying? See, we say, hey, come in love with us. You're like, no, I don't got any more room for any more human love. Like, we don't want human love. What we're saying is come and experience the Holy Spirit. Allow him to change your heart. Allow him to put the love of God in your heart. Romans 5:5 says that the love of the Heavenly Father is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. In other words, there's no way to get God's love without the Holy Spirit. And there's no place you're going to experience more of the Holy Spirit than in a healthy body that's a word and spirit community. So when I invite you to say, come and connect with us, my invitation is not come and bring your human love. My invitation is come and let the Holy Spirit do amazing things in your heart, stir up love in your heart, that you can go and take that to the world. Amen? That makes sense? That's the first thing. I want to love and be loved. The second thing was this. I am invaluable to God and to Crossroads Church. See, I think, and if you know me, you know I've had not just a biking accident recently, but I've had a series of injuries the past few years. It just seems like it keeps coming. And, you know, at a certain point, you just feel kind of beat up. And you just kind of feel like, man, am I really, do I have any worth anymore? And I got to admit, part of what the Lord showed me that morning after my bad experience and my panic attack was, Dan, you're feeling worthless. You've written yourself off. And he started to speak value into my heart, into my soul. He started to speak, you got so much more to offer. You have gifts and abilities and things to bring to the table. I am not done with you yet. And man, I'll tell you, it was one of the most powerful experiences. I was weeping. One of the most powerful experiences I've ever had with God, of him speaking value into my heart, into my soul. And he said, you're going to be one of my Calebs. I said, God, I'm not even 80 yet, though. He goes, that's okay, you'll get there. You're going to be one of my Calebs. If you know anything about Caleb, he's an older generation guy that never gave up, but kept on pushing and pushing and pushing. And at 80 years old, he said, give me that mountain. And God spoke over me, you're going to be one of my Calebs someday. It's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. In this verse, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us all different gifts for doing certain things well. The whole idea of serving. He really spoke into my heart, and I just share this with you, that we are the body of Christ. And as it says up here, just as the bodies have many parts, do you realize you are a part of the body of Christ? Some of you are an ear, some are an eye, some are a nose, some are a hand, a foot, but we are each a part of a body of Christ. And if you're here at Crossroads, you are a part of the body. It's not that we got to get you in, you're already here. It's a matter of whether you recognize your part. Whether you realize, wow, God has given me a special function. And I just want to speak that over you today and say that God has you here and he's given you a special function in this church, in this community, in this world, that God has a special function for each of us here today. Do you believe that? Do you feel God speaking value over you? Do you resonate with the idea that God says, you are a special child of mine, a favored child. I have designed you. I've created you. I've gifted you. I've wired you. I've given you dreams and hopes. And he says, we belong to one another. And I think Steve spoke on this recently, that we are not independent beings. We are interdependent beings. When we belong to one another, that means I need you. And you know what? You need me. We need one another. And God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. What I love about that is it doesn't mean we all do the same thing. That you bring a gift to do something well that I could never do well. Some say I have the gift of eating. This guy, John Barnes, started that rumor several years ago. That had the gift of eating. I don't know if that's a spiritual gift. But one thing I definitely have the gift of is generally oversight. But I'll tell you what, when I get into details, as those of you who have had to work with me know, that's Becca, it's okay, you don't have to say anything, Becca. But when we have to get into details, working together on projects and conferences, it goes south in a hurry, doesn't it? But my gift is oversight of, okay, I can see things. Hey, I think that'll work, that won't work. But if I get into details, it's trouble. But I just say to each of you, you have gifts. And what we want to do as a church is simply help you discover and hone those gifts. And the best way to do that is coming and serving with us. That I can look and say, you know what? Appreciate your effort there. Thank you for that. But I really think you're going to enjoy a whole lot more doing this. And I think everybody around you will enjoy a whole lot more you doing this. And that's part of what the body does. That's why community not only is there to help us understand agape love, it's there to help us understand our gifting and abilities. That we can come as we are, and we can help one another just discover who we truly are. And that's why I say, come and let us help you be all that you can be. It's my second invitation. Not only come and love with us, but come and let us help you discover all that you are, because there's no place better to discover it than here. Because, gang, we cannot be everything God's created us to be to the community out there if we're not cultivating that and developing that within these doors right here. I'm just telling you, I could go through a lot more scriptures. I'm not going to go there. But it's just the way the body of Christ works. When we come together and we simply say, I am committed, I'm going to come serve, and we can say, yeah, man, great, yes, no, and we work together, it is amazing how God begins to cultivate gifts. That's the second thing. I am valuable to God in CCA, and this is the last thing that God put in my heart, was this idea of giving all to him. And it's like he asked me, Dan, am I your all in all? Am I really everything to you? And he brought me to this verse, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And as I prayed into it, I had to have an honest conversation with God that, you know, Lord, I feel like I kind of got that reversed. You see, what that kind of says is, seek the kingdom of God first and foremost, live righteously, and God will bless you. It's clearly a rewards verse. It's not about salvation. It's not about what you do to be saved. It's simply about those who are saved saying, what's your priority now? What's your number one affection in life? And if that affection is God, and you follow that up by living righteously, then God will bless you abundantly. But you know what I've realized I've been doing a lot of my life in a lot of areas? It's like, okay, I'm going to go get this. Rather than my affection being God, primarily God, I mean, there's affection for God, but it wasn't primarily. I'm going to go have affection for what I want in my life. And then what I'm going to do is say, let's pray over it and spiritualize it. And I'm going to say, that's seeking God. I got it reversed, gang. It's a reverse formula that leads to frustration and loneliness and brokenness. And what God said was, Dan, let's get this right. I want to so bless you. I really believe this. God wants to bless us more than we can even understand. He wants to bless us more than we even want to be blessed ourselves. But he says, this is what it looks like. Seek me first. Make me your number one priority. Live a life that follows that, that reflects that. And one of those things, part of living righteously, is this terrible word called patience. Right? Trust. Where we wait on God for what he's going to then add on to us. Because he knows what we need. And when we make it about, hey, I need this. Oh, okay, now let me get real spiritual about that. Thank you, God, that was a great gift. And now let me come over here. Yeah, I'm really a worshiper of God. When I get that whole formula backwards, boy, it's messy. And I realized that was somewhat what was going on in my life. Not always, not with everything, but a lot of what was going on in my life. And I'm like, well, what do I do with that, Lord? And prayed through that, and he showed me some things in my own life that, okay, here's some tweaks we're going to make and some changes we're going to make, but here is the litmus test. The litmus test for knowing whether we are truly living that verse out. If we're truly seeking God first. You ready for this? Read the rest of that. This Jesus said this about 15 verses prior. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. for where your treasure is, and it's specifically talking about finances, that's where your heart will be. If you want a heart set on the kingdom of God, the best way to get it there is to start putting finances in the kingdom of God. You see that? If we really want a heart that's set on God, a litmus test to that, it's not the only thing. There's other things too, but one of the big litmus tests, one of the real tangible things we can say, what are we doing with our wallet? Really can say, what are we doing with our calendar and our wallet? How am I spending my time, my talents, and my treasures? And that's why we say, not only come here and connect, not only come here and serve, but come here and give, gang. And we're not going to be bashful about that. We don't pound the pulpit every week about money stuff. But we're just saying, don't ever give to pay the light bill. Don't pay to, or give to pay this or pay that. We give out of our worship of God, seeking God first. Do you see that? That giving is something I do as someone who says, I am seeking God first. Because where my treasure is, my heart will follow. And that's why we just encourage everyone to come become a regular giver at your local church. If that's Crossroads, then so be it right here. Become a regular giver. And then that's what's called the tithe, some would say. And then there's offerings where you give to charities beyond that. That is what our leadership practices, and I don't say that to boast about leadership or share that like, hey, we'll just tell you what we do. But to say, listen, we're not just telling you to do this, we're doing it. And let me tell you, I could go around and point people out who have had testimonies of when they faithfully became regular givers to God's kingdom, how their life radically changed and their financial situation radically changed. I'll tell you what, time and time again, I've seen that in my own life when I started this 25 years ago, becoming a regular giver, as well as in the lives of many others. So that's our invitation to you. Become a regular giver. And you say, well, I got to do 10%? I mean, you do what God tells you to do. I'd say 10% is a great place to start. But, you know, do 1%, do 3%, do 5%. Sometimes I wonder, God's math is so interesting. Because I wonder if we do a 3% tithe, we get a 3% add-on reward. If we do a 5%, we get a 5%. But I almost wonder if we do a 10%, we get 100%. Maybe that just went somewhere else. But I don't know if that makes sense. When we are faithful to follow what God tells us to do, He loves to bless that and bless it, as Jesus said in another place, 100-fold. That's why I say that. I just think God wants, He does that. When you faithfully say, Lord, I'm going to just press toward that 10% mark, He will bless that abundantly. Again, we don't say that out of legalism. God's going to love you more if you do it, or we're going to love you more or love you less whether if you don't. But we're just saying this is just part of seeking the kingdom of God and living righteously. This is the living righteously part. If we truly say we're seeking God and we live righteously, this is the next step. So our invitation, come and give all you are with us, all you are to God with us here at Crossroads. Hey, well, I want to wrap up. I do want to tell you, I did get the shots. I did go for the shots. One, because I wanted, for me, it was making a statement of value over myself. I am worth $2,000. The other one was CYA, as they say, cover your assets. All right? And they did with six big shots right on the backside to get you going. But you know what? I share that, it's a little personal, but you know what? They said, this is going to be very painful, and you're going to have all these, you know, you're going to be sore. I got to tell you, it was like a small little pinch, and I never had any side effects. And, I mean, the Lord just oversaw that whole process, gang, and I'm so grateful for it. Well, I need to stop talking about myself, huh? Hear the one about the narcissist that was trying to break free of narcissism? He said, listen, I'm so sick and tired of talking about myself. Why don't you talk about me for a while? Anyway, baby steps, right? Baby steps. Love you too, man. Passion City Church in Atlanta says this. I was there last weekend. Pulled it off their website. Our hope is to be winsome and befriend and serve all people. Our worship is loud because his grace is beyond anything we could dream or imagine. Some of you struggle with the loudness of our music some days. Our rhythm is to gather together to worship and scatter to serve. And in a world where the weight is often heavy, we want to lift people, speak life, stand for justice, add value, and celebrate goodness of our God in the best of times and when the road is steep. We are not perfect, but Jesus is. Come as you are. All right? So our invitation is, come, connect with us, serve with us, give with us. This next slide points out a couple things. It's on the handout if you got it on the way in. You can go there, Chris, if you would. Ways to connect is through our next steps that starts in October. You can also get the Renew Ministry. That's the next steps is just our intro to the church. 4-week class on Sunday mornings tells you about who we are as a church, how you can get involved, what it looks like. Many of you have been through that. I invite those of you who haven't been through it to come through it with me next month in October. The Renew Ministry, Dan Kale oversees, basically our restoration and strengthening ministry that offers prayer, that offers a regen program that starts again in January. And then we're looking to do one again and start another 10-month loop next September. So there'll be a school year version of it as well. Fantastic for just renewing our souls on our identity in Christ. And as well as our re-engage, we'll be starting that in October, which is our small groups for married couples just strengthening of married couples. And so that's our Renew Ministry. And Dan, of course, offers professional counseling as well. And grateful for you, bro. Our life groups, there's a plethora of them. Singles, men's, women's, marrieds and parents groups that meet. We invite you to check those out. There'll be people at the table out in the connecting point or in the fireside room. Go stop by and see what all our life groups are that we're launching this fall. In our A2 groups, which Becca announced, not meeting this week, but they'll be launching in the Aspen and Snowmass will be launching in October, and you guys are going to be back on next Sunday night. So in the Mid-Valley. So Aspen, Snowmass, Mid-Valley. So some great options. Come and serve with us. Some great options. Maybe you're not a people person. Come and do admin and set up. And finally, ways to give. Online, check cash, or you can text. Whatever you want to do there, gang. But again, our encouragement is come, connect, serve, and give with us. I need it. And if I can just say, you need it. We really can't live without Christian community. It's vital. Come on up, Derek. We can't really live without Christian community. We can come to church on Sundays, but you know, it doesn't really get it done. And again, it's never a guilt trip, but it is an invitation. And so we invite you to come. I want to pray for us, and we're going to have some songs and a time of communion. Some folks will be out in the fireside room afterwards. We invite you out for that. And as I pray, come to the table. If you're here today and you have never really built, or I should say started, a relationship with God, maybe you've been a churchgoer your whole life, you're kind of one of those stats up there, but you've never really started a relationship with the love of God, understanding that God is a perfect God, we're imperfect people, and that we need, in a sense, a transformer to bridge the gap between Jesus or between the imperfect God and us, the imperfect people. And that bridge is Jesus. It's like he takes this amazing love of God and he puts it in our heart. And once it comes in, it never goes. As we just say, Lord, I need you, forgive me of my sins, and come into my heart. So if you're here today, you've never done that. As we come to the communion table, I invite you to do that. So let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for these folks just letting me share my story. I'm just so encouraged by what you did. And thank you for just restoring my zeal, restoring my thirst. Lord, not only just for life, but for community. And Lord, to come and even be more deeply engaged, connecting here and serving here and giving at Crossroads. Lord, for anybody here today that's never really made that connection with you, I pray right now that they'll open their hearts and just allow the perfect God to come in and take their imperfect hearts and make a connection, Lord, through your forgiveness on the cross. So, Lord, we lift that up to you. If there is anyone here today, I just pray you'll pray with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Give me new life and restore my heart and soul. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.